Before we begin, I want to give a short testimony. Yesterday, I spoke twice yesterday at Rimbayu and Setia Alam. And at Rimbayu, oh, there you are, Norma, hi. At Rimbayu, in worship, God gave me a confirmation of what I was talking about. The songs just really lined up with what I was going to be speaking about. And then at Setia Alam, the same thing happened. The music that they'd picked spoke to what I was speaking about. And then, during a time of spontaneous worship yesterday, we were praying yesterday, today, forevermore, singing that over and over again. And it just made me think, am I good to go? All right, this one? Oh, check that out. Look at that. This way I can wildly gesticulate more. Yesterday, today, forevermore. And so I was like, wouldn't it be awesome if God gave some confirmation today during worship? And man, did he. And so as I'm speaking to you today, listen to some of the things I'm talking about and see if you can pick out in the songs that we sang what I'm talking about. And even before worship, if you were here early, they had updates from the other churches around the world. And there was one from Korea. And if you don't know, I lived in Korea for 13 years. And in fact, we were just there 2 weeks ago staying near Yonsei University, which is one of the ministries that that church in Korea is reaching out to. So God is speaking if you're listening. Amen? I praise God that he's always talking to us. Yeah, give him a hand. So you don't know me, so I will introduce myself. Some of you know me, not all of you know me. Turn this on and then point. Here we go. Look at that. Woo, there's me. This is my wife, Norma, who's sitting over there. And this is our daughter, Evaness. And the reason we're so fancy in this picture is because this is a graduation photo. Our daughter just graduated from high school last month. We're sending her away to university next month. Oh, thank you. A couple people clap for graduation. Yes. Sending her away next month. So yes, all of the feelings, right? If you're empty nesters in this room, give me some advice, right? I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to brag about your leadership here at this church at Puchong. We chose to come to this church when we first arrived in Malaysia because of its teens ministry. It was really the only church we could find that had a teens ministry that was happening at the same time as the adult ministry, so we could go to church together. And then at that time, Eugene and later Jason were just running an amazing program. And Joelle, wherever he is in the back, I think, was her first life group leader. And then Janie took over for that. And Charmaine tried to start one-to-one with her to no avail. And then Jessica, who wrote that last song we sang, I think, finished that one-to-one. And this weekend, on the 13th, my daughter is getting baptized at Every Nation Rimbayu. Yeah, that you can clap for. Yeah. For those of you who are parents, you know that that is a debt of gratitude I can never repay. So thank you. Thank you, Every Nation Church Malaysia, for the work that you've done in my family's life. I can't brag about you guys enough. Praise God for you. I also like coming here because they do my makeup. I feel pretty, right? They do that because they tell me this shines too much from the overhead lights, right? Ah, the beacon is lit. Gondor calls for aid. So Pastor Stephen and B. Kim took my wife and I out for coffee a few weeks ago, a month ago maybe, and asked, hey, Ben, we're thinking about having you speak at Puchong from time to time. How do you feel about that? And I said, I'm under your authority. Where you tell me to go, I'll go. And he said, oh, great, because we need some older people. Wait a second. I took that kind of personally, right? So if you're here and you're Gen X, hopefully today I speak your language. And if you're a younger person here, sorry, you got to put up with an old man, right? So let's get into this and start with the business of what we're talking about today. We're doing this series called The Upside Down Kingdom. If we are going to order our lives as Christ commanded us to, if we're to live as Jesus told us to, You know, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Have you heard that one before? If we're to set that up, it's going to look very different from the way the world wants us to live our lives. Let me give you a concrete example. I am American, if you can't tell by my accent. I'm actually from Minnesota, so I could use my Minnesotan accent if you want, eh? Yeah, sure. No, I won't do that to you. We just had July 4th this week. It's our Independence Day. My wife is Canadian. They just had Canadian Independence Day on the 1st. Yay, Canada. And on July 4th, we had this document called the Declaration of Independence. You may have heard about it. Nicolas Cage tried to steal it, a national treasure. Right? There's our first old man reference. In there, there's this famous phrase that we have these unalienable rights that are given to us by our Creator. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. No, sorry. It was originally pursuit of property. That was John Locke. We changed it to the pursuit of happiness. Property, happiness, same thing, right? So is that actually, that's the foundational document for America. Is that how we are to live a kingdom life? Well, life. Let's look at life. As Christians, are we called to life? Well, he came that we might have life and have it abundantly, but what kind of life? Eternal life, spiritual life. In this life, we are called to lay down our lives. We are called to, as we'll hear today, take up our cross. For his sake, we're being put to death all day long, like lambs to the slaughter. If anyone loves his life, he will lose it. Liberty? Freedom? Well, are we set free? Yes. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, but free from what? Free from the law of sin and death. In this life, we are called to obey. In fact, that's what every nation calls its water baptism ministry, is obey. If anyone loves me, he will obey my commandments, right? We are slaves to Christ, bought and paid for with a price. Pursuit of happiness? I don't know. Are we called to be happy in this life? Maybe. We're certainly called to be joyful. We sang a song about joy, rejoice, rejoice. We are called to joy. Happiness, not so sure. Either way, we're definitely not called to pursue happiness. We're called to pursue Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So again, this is my country and my culture. How much of my Christianity is actually just American? Now turn that around, because today I want you to be thinking about your own faith. How much of your Christianity is actually just Malaysian? It's hard to spot, certainly while you're still in your own culture, right? So we really want to look at what the kingdom calls us to do. Amen? Let's get into our verse for the day. This is from Luke 9, 23 to 27. Please open up your Bibles if you have them. If you're taking notes, I am a school teacher. I will be watching. And I have a laser beam, so... And I'm going to be flipping through a few passages, so you might want to have Luke 9 open so that you can reference it, because it won't be up on the screen forever. And you should always be checking your version of the Bible, always be checking what the pastor is speaking about or the guest speaker is speaking about. So, I went forward too far. Did I go forward too far? Where's my verse? Ah, here's my verse. Okay. This is, by the way, sorry, I'm jeepers. Having problems with technology, another old man problem, right? The theme for today is death versus life. That doesn't sound very appealing, does it? Actually, I think today we're gonna talk a lot about how challenging a kingdom walk can be, right? So Luke 9, 23 to 27, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, try to live as Christ lived, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Amen. So looking at this passage, there's three things I want to take away from today. It's a big theological chunk, but three things I want us to key on if you're taking notes. If we want to come after Jesus, if we want to live like he lives, if we want to live a kingdom life, right? The upside down kingdom, the dome in which Christ is king, maybe one of the ways we can do that is to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow Jesus. So we're talking about what those three things mean a little bit in depth. Now, I am not a pastor. I am not a theologian. I am a school teacher. So today I'm going to be asking more questions and not speaking prophetic words, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to be asking you guys questions and getting you to think about your faith. Because I am not Malaysian, I am American, so my ideas might be different than yours. I am not young, I'd like to think thoroughly middle-aged, but that's okay, blissfully average, right? So you might have a different perspective on these things. So when I ask you, what does this mean to you? I want you to think about that. It tells us in Scripture to meditate on God's word, right? That word for meditate means to ruminate, to chew on, like a cow chews on its cud, right? So we want to chew on these ideas. Let's go to the first one, deny himself. What does this mean to deny himself? The first thought that popped into my head was to say, I don't exist, right? Like John Cena, dun, 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 right? You can't see me. I don't know if there's pro wrestling fans. There's a famous TV author, scriptwriter named Aaron Sorkin. He's one of my favorite. And he had a TV show. And in that TV show, there was a scene where the boss comes in to yell at the employee, Mary! And Mary's like, oh, can you still see me? Right? Wish we could do that sometimes. No, that's not what to deny yourself means. Just yesterday, a friend of mine sent a voice message saying that he had been meditating on this, and apparently to ancient Jews, the phrase deny yourself often was synonymous with fasting, right? Fasting. And we do that here at Every Nation. Every year at the beginning of the year, we do a time of prayer and fasting to deny that thing which is so important to you. And what's more important to Malaysians than food, right? That was one of the first things I learned in Malay when we got here was, how do you say hello? I said, it's sudah makan. So what does it mean to deny ourselves? I suspect the clue here is in verse 25. Remember in Luke, I told you to keep Luke 9 open. Verse 25, it says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world? We seek the whole world. I want it. I want it all. Give it to me. It's mine. We work for these possessions, right? The pursuit of property. And so when we look at that, what are the things in this world that we are pursuing that we need to deny ourselves? In faith, we call, I had a religions professor in university, it said that God is our penultimate concern, right? The Olympics are coming up in Paris. If you're fans of track and field, I used to do track and field when I was much skinnier. And I did the triple jump and long jump. And when you run, that first step before you actually launch yourself in the air, we call the penultimate step. And when you watch the Olympics, you can tell it's a very short little stutter step, boom, and then they launch. Is God our penultimate concern, or is he the ultimate concern? What's up at the top? What do we need to deny ourselves so that we can put God back at the top of the list, right? I suspect, given the crowd, maybe money, right? Now it gets uncomfortable. Are we to pursue riches in this life? Christ denied himself. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Is it wrong to have money, to be wealthy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. To pursue it above pursuing Christ, that's where the problem happens, right? If God can clothe the lilies of the field in more splendor than Solomon, why do we need to worry about this, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Fame, we just sang a song, hail, all hail, right? Bow before Yahweh. God's fame is what we should be pursuing. But I know for me, I want to be known. I want people to know me and, you know, whatever. But who knows you better than your creator? In Revelations 2, it says, to him who is victorious, you'll be given a new name written on a white stone that only the one who receives it knows. God knows you so well, he knows your real name, and he's going to share it with you one day if you're victorious. That's awesome. God knows you. Why should we worry about this? Maybe power? I know we just had elections in France and in the UK this week. It's an election year in my home country, and everyone's fighting for power, that lust for power. That might not speak to you as Malaysians now. Yesterday I asked, when's the next election? And the crowd looked at me like, But if I asked Malaysians 7 years ago, 8 years ago, it was a big deal, right? That pursuit of power. The overarching theme here is that God should be our ultimate concern in the thing that we pursue. Seek first the kingdom, even if it's upside down. Seek first the kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Let's get into that a little bit. Maybe let's do a little life hack here. There's a verse in Scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you your desires." Now, there's two ways we can interpret that. If you're happy with God, he'll give you whatever you want. Or if you are delighting in God, he will put new desires in your life that are in line with his will. When you've been married for a very long time, you can finish each other's. Yeah, she passed. Thank you, Norma, my wife. Right, that was our first marriage test, right? If you're delighting in Jesus, if you're delighting in God, if you're spending time with the Lord, you're going to want the things that he wants. He'll put a new desire in your heart. Let me give you two illustrations of this. I have a friend who struggled with smoking. I don't know if any of you have smoked or have tried quitting smoking. It's incredibly difficult to quit. In fact, I have a family member who has done pretty much all of the drugs out there. And when he got clean, he said the hardest drug, cocaine, heroin, whatever, the hardest drug to quit was smoking. It's incredibly difficult to quit. But this friend of mine was in a time of deep prayer and fasting and exalting God, crying out to God, and God put a new desire in his heart. And he didn't want to smoke anymore. And it wasn't even, if I remember right, it wasn't even like sometimes you chew on toothpicks or lollipops to keep help with it. He wasn't even tempted. I have another friend who is a missionary, and I mean like a real missionary, like up in the mountains, going to unreached people groups, the first white guy they've ever seen, that kind of thing. And by the way, you know what they call me at Rimbayu? The Angmo. I'm the one white guy, I guess. I'm not, but. So this missionary friend of mine, he actually went to school partly to be a filmmaker. That was his dream, to be a movie maker, filmmaker. And so he was always writing scripts. But it was tearing him between these two worlds. I'm called to minister to these people, to evangelize these people, but I have all these ideas in my head that I want to write down, and I don't have time for both. And at one point, he just said to God, "God, if this is from you, like, either make it happen or turn it off, because I can't keep living in both worlds. I can't have one foot in each side." And God, like that, turned off the tap and put a new desire in his heart. See, that's a hard prayer to pray, though. "God, if this is from you, take it. If not, let me have it." I want to be a filmmaker. I have like 6 scripts I'm working on. I love acting, right? You probably, maybe if you've seen me here at Puchung, it's been in some of the productions. At the same time, I don't want to pray that prayer because it's my desire. It's what I want right now. And you don't want God to take what you want. Even if you know that God is going to give you a better desire, you're in this desire right now. You can't see the future. It's a difficult prayer to pray. So maybe the life hack is to delight in God. It's a lot easier to pursue a positive than enforce a negative. It's like if you want to get healthy, and I'm at that age now where, you want to get healthy. And so you can either go exercise, which for me is like a walk, right? Or you diet, but you can't spell diet without die, right? It's no fun. By the way, young people here, say it with me. Dietary fiber. Dietary fiber. It's your friend. Write it down in your notes. You'll thank me in 30 years, right? So it's a lot easier to go do the thing that is positive than to try to, "I'm not going to eat junk food, I'm not going to eat junk food, I'm not going to eat junk food." That's a horrible way to live. So let's delight ourselves in the Lord, right? So what does that look like? What's your perfect date? Right? We have our kids all off at the teens ministry today, if you get some time alone, right? Honeymoon time, as we called it yesterday. What are you going to do with your spouse or your significant other? Go to a movie? Go to a concert, go dancing, maybe sit down at a coffee shop and talk for several hours. That's my wife's dream, right? I'd be gnawing my arm off. "Get me out of here." If Jesus took you out on a date, what would it be? Would it be worship music, right?
Would it be worship music? Would it be a dancing? Do you guys remember the Easter production? Oh man, I was crying. Well, they're up here dancing. Oh, it was so good. How would you delight in Christ? I want you to think about that. I'm a teacher. Here's your homework. Take Jesus out on a date this week, right? Think of what your perfect date is and go out on a date with him. Sit down in a coffee shop and just prayer journal. Ask him, God, what do you want to say to me? And start writing and then write back to him. And then whatever you're hearing, try it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We need to keep moving. I only have 8 minutes left. Oh no. And we have to go pick up our teens after this, so I can't be late. Take up his cross daily. What does this mean? What does the cross mean to you? When you hear this phrase, we're in 2024. We have the canon of Scripture, the fullness of the revelation of Christ. We have history in our hindsight. Probably means something like sacrifice, sacrificial love. Probably means salvation, deliverance, victory over sin and death. But Jesus talked about this with his disciples in Luke 9. He wasn't crucified until Luke 23. So you put yourself in the shoes of those disciples, first century Jews, and Jesus says, take up your cross daily. Come after me. Okay, we want to come after you. You have to deny yourself. We can do that. Take up your cross daily. What? Cross? What's he talking about? See, to them, the cross was a symbol of many things. Again, these are not theological truths, but I want you to think. What do you think it meant? Could it have been, this is what we killed criminals on? Is it a mark of shame? Have you ever been ashamed to be a Christian? That's a tough question to ask yourself. Let me help you with it. I have been. When I was in my 20s, I was a believer, born again, went to church, but I had a group of friends who were not Christian. We hang out. Their nickname for me was God Boy. It's not a great nickname, but hey, because they knew I was a Christian, they knew I went to church. At the same time, when they said that, it was a joke. Because when they went out partying, I went out partying. When they did this, I did this. In fact, one of them came up to me back then and said, why should I believe what you believe? You're no different than me. See, I wasn't ashamed to say I was Christian, but when it came down to it, when the peer pressure was on, I shrunk. And I was ashamed to stand up for my faith and my beliefs. Pastor Timothy, bless him, I've heard him speak several times about going on those business trips, and those business trips where you're asked to do things that a Christian should not be doing. No one really should be doing. Can you not be ashamed of the gospel then? That's tough. In 2 Samuel, right, there's this scene where David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he's wearing a linen ephod. He's basically in his underwear, and he's dancing in the streets, right? And his wife comes up to him and says, what are you doing? Put some clothes on. You're embarrassing yourself. He says, I will become even more undignified than this. Now, I'm not saying you should dance around in your underwear, but maybe when you go on your date with Jesus, make sure the drapes are closed, turn up the worship music, right? Whoever is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him when I come into my glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. It's not a criminal crime. It's not a crime to be Christian. Another thing that the Jews probably thought about this was that it was a symbol of the Roman Empire, right? For those of you young people here in university or just out of university, you might have learned or been indoctrinated with a worldview called post-colonialism. It comes out of Marxism, kind of, where Marx said that it's all of history is rich versus poor. Post-colonialism says it's oppressed and oppressor. Well, the Jews at that time were living under Roman imperial rule, an outside invading force. And so when they saw the cross, they saw their oppressor. What's the ruler of your world? Right? If we're to deny ourselves, when we joke about, like when we do fasting, you don't tell young people to fast from food. Instead, we tell our teens usually to fast from social media, right? TikTok is their ruler. Who sets the rules for your life? In my life, get married by 30, have 3 kids by 40, house is paid off by 50, retired by 60. None of those are bad things, right? Marriage is a beautiful thing, right? Right, honey? Look at your wife and say, marriage is the best thing. At the same time, if the world puts that burden on you, it's heavy, right?
If God puts that burden on you, it shouldn't be. Who's the ruler in your life? Who's setting the rules you have to live by? It may look the same. Marriage is a blessing if it's from God. If it's not, then maybe it's not a blessing. God works all things together for good, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So we have hope, we have faith. At the same time, is God calling you to take up a cross? Which cross is he calling you to take up? Oh goodness, 2 minutes, and I have like 10 minutes left. I'm in trouble. Okay, let's go quick. So think about that. Who is the ruler in your life? And what do you need to take up? What's the burden that is being placed on you? Let me skip some stuff here. In context of this whole passage, because you never read a Bible verse in isolation, you always look at the chapter, you look at the bit before and after, right? This is just after the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus says, and there's this huge crowd, the disciples say, send them away so we can feed them. Jesus says, no, 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 you feed them. We don't have anything. We have 2 fish, 5 loaves, no problem. Fed everybody, 12 baskets of bread left over. Right? Yesterday at Rimbayu, that was the confirmation. We had an abundance of bread at Rimbayu. And then he went across the lake and Jesus started saying some kind of crazy things. Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. What? And most of the crowd left. Jesus said, do you also want to go? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Who do you say that I am? Be rejected by the religious authorities, die, and then rise again. It doesn't sound like a political messiah. We have an election this year in my country, and it seems like, how much of my Christianity is just American, right? It seems like the Christians in my country are still looking for that political messiah. And when Jesus is on the cross, he's not saying that. He's not saying I'm here to smack the Romans. He's saying I have a much, much bigger fight to fight. A much bigger plan. Broke them out of that upside down kingdom. It's worth noting, by the way, does the Roman Empire still exist? Kind of, right? It became the Holy Roman Empire and then became the Roman Catholic Church. So in the end, I guess Jesus did win. God is not slow, as some consider slow. Follow him. Okay, can I have like 2 minutes? Is that okay? All right. Follow him. What does it mean to follow Christ? Let me submit this to you. Faith, saving faith, salvific faith is not about believing in God. And we sang that song, I believe, I believe. And that's part of it. But it's about following Christ and pursuing him and declaring that he is Lord. There's a passage in here we go, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, no problem. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord. This is an oath of fealty. This is you saying that God, you are king, and I will follow you like a knight follows his Lord. Whatever you say, I will do. It's submitting yourself. Remember, we talked about that idea? The word here for Lord is kurios. You guys remember the 80s song? Kyrie eleison down the road that I must travel. 80s people, my generation, great song. It means, same word, kurios. Kyrie is Latin. Lord, Lord have mercy. So when we look at this, are you declaring Christ is Lord? In my 20s, late 20s, I wanted to pursue God. I would actually get down on my knee like a knight standing before the throne and pray like this, because I wanted God to know that he was Lord. Take that physical posture to declare that there is that spiritual posture. Now here's the hard one. There's another dictionary called Thayer's. Strong's defines this as sovereign or boss. I know in Malaysia we call everyone boss, but this is like the boss, right? Thayer's actually defines this word as owner. You've been bought and paid for with a price. The life you lead, you no longer lead, right? You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. You've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. God owns you. If you're a Christian, you are saying, I will be your slave. Our daughter wanted to get her ears pierced because all of her friends were getting her ears pierced. And so there's this passage in scripture because, you know, we turn into our mothers. And so we said to her, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you, right? That you don't want your kid to do that, right? So There's this passage in Scripture where when a slave has earned his freedom, if he wants to stay in the master's house, he goes up to the door and pierces his ear up against the doorpost with an awl, declaring that he will be a slave of that family forevermore. So he said, if you're going to get your ears pierced, it better be because you believe, you're telling Christ, this is my oath to you. Right? Now, that's not what that passage actually means, but you know, as parents, sometimes we play kind of fast and loose with the curriculum, right? Are you declaring to God that you will obey, that he is your master? And that's scary to think about, but it shouldn't be, because here's why. Isaiah 55, his ways are higher. Jeremiah 29:11, he has plans for you to prosper you. His plans are better. In 1 John 4, it says his love is perfect. And that perfect love casts out fear. We have nothing to fear from surrendering to Christ. Still hard to do, though. Still hard to do. So as we wrap this up, I'm skipping so much. Oh, well. I talk too much. I'm a history teacher originally, so that's why I talk too much. Sorry. Okay, if you want to follow Christ, if you want to be like him, deny yourself. Hard to do. Take up your cross. I don't even know what that means. And follow him. Well, if we think of handles, things that we can try, life hacks to make this happen. As you go about your week this week, here's your homework. Delight in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, hoping that, trusting that he will put those new desires in you. Go on a date with Jesus, whatever that means to you. Declare with your mouth that he is Lord. Surrender yourself to him. And it says take up your cross daily. Every day, wake up and say, Jesus, this day is yours. If you need to, take a knee, bow before the king as we prayed, and tell him that whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you go, I will go. That's what Jesus did. The Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. You want to come after Christ and live like him? Do what the Father shows you. If anyone loves me, he will obey my commandments. Decide to follow Christ. Every day. Every day. Start your prayer with that. Okay, I'm out of time. And so I know this is a whirlwind tour. It's a little ADHD kicking in. Squirrel, right? But hopefully you guys have some things to take away with. Homework that you can work on. Pursue Christ. Here's the thing about the upside down kingdom. With respect to the leadership, I disagree with this. The world is upside down, not God. How can we break free from that? How can we pursue Christ in such a way as we're living the right way up? Amen? Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you so much for this time. And I just pray because so much happened and I don't know what's going on. You do, though. So whatever words you want to land, land them. Whatever you want to stick, stick, God. Spirit, Holy Spirit, work in these people's hearts this week. Give us a new dose of glory, your glory. Show us what you want us to know. And help us to delight in you. We want to come after you. We want to pursue you. We don't want to live like the world. We want to live like you. And we need your spirit to do that, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.